Arjun has asked questions concerning these technical terms, kim tad brahma, kim adhyatma, kim karma, purushottama, adi devam, kim chaproktam, like that. What is adi yajna, what is adi daiva, what is brahma, what is karma, all of these technical terms, seven technical terms, Arjuna has inquired about, and Krishna has answered in brief. And now, for the rest of the chapter, he's handling this all-important question, how can one remember you at the time of death? He's begun by saying, whatever you think of at the time of death, that determines your next destination. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Therefore, he says, one should always think of me, because whoever attains me, whoever thinks of me at the time of death, attains me. So you should always think of me, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting, and in this way you'll undoubtedly come to me. Now in the eighth verse, abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthanu chintena. What do you think? Abhyas means by practice. By practice. To think of Krishna at the time of death, everything needs practice. Abhyas. So one should engage in the practice of thinking of Krishna. What is that? Practice makes perfect. Abhyasa yoga yuktena and chetasa na anyagamina. One should practice in such a way that his mind will not go anywhere else. Anyagamina means going somewhere else. So chetasa na anyagamina. The mind should be fixed. We read earlier that in the sixth chapter, nivata sto nengvate sopama spriha. What is that? Let's find it. Ningate. Yata dipo nivatasto nengate sopamaspita yogino yatachitasya yunjato yogamatmana. That as a lamp in a windless place is steady, one's meditation on the Supreme should be steady. And then, again in the sixth chapter, shanai shanai uparamed buddhya dhriti grihitaya atma samstam mana kritva nakinchet apichintayet. One should gradually pull the mind back from everything else and fix it on the Supreme. Atma samstam mana kritva. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalim astviram tatastito niyamyaitad atmanyeva vishamneya. That fickle, unsteady, flickering mind, wherever it may go, yato yato, here's another one of those correlative pronouns, yato yato, tatastito, from wherever it may go, one has to bring it back, niyamya, by discipline, and fix it on the Supreme. And that's practice. In our experience, what does that mean?
Meditation.
We're chanting japa.
Chanting.
Yeah, chanting. And chanting what? Yeah. How?
Bring the mind back to the
concentration. Huh?
Determination, a lot of
effort. Determination, yeah, but determination for what?
Sending the mind back under the sound vibration.
Yeah, attentiveness. Wherever the mind may go, The practice is, because anyagamina means mind's going here and there, so how do we get it back? The yogis are trying by sitting and by super concentration in Satya Yuga, and they're able to do it. In Kali Yuga, we have to concentrate on the sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And mold our life in such a way that we'll always think of Krishna. This is practice, right? Paramam Purusham Divyam. Here Krishna defines the objective and defines himself. Paramam Purusham Divyam. Very neat. Paramam means he's the supreme. Purusham means?
Person.
Male. And he means he's the male, he's the supreme enjoyer. Purusham, Paramam Purusham, and?
Divyam.
Means?
Transcendental.
Transcendental. Not that if he's a person, he has to be material. Materially changed, because personhood means no. Paramam Purusham Divyam. He's the supreme transcendental person. And Yati, one can go and achieve him, Partha, O Arjun, Anuchintaya, by always thinking of him. Anu means? We talked about it the other day.
Following
always. And?
Always.
So one should always think of Krishna, and one should think of Krishna by following those who think of Krishna. Partha Anuchintaya. Any questions there? Essence of yoga practice. Now, further description of how to think of Krishna. Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Anura Niyamsam Anusmaredyaha Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varna Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. Kavi means one who knows everything. Kavi also means he's poetic. You know? One who knows everything is Kavi. Rishim Kavim. He knows past, present, and future. And Purana?
Old.
How, what is that old? The original. Not that he's, now he's, you know, must really be, beard must be really long by now. He's the original person. And Anushashitaram.
Controller.
Shastatu. Shast means control. Shastra. Shastra. Shishya. Shastra means Vedic literature, which is meant to give us proper control. Like meant to control the living being. And Shastra?
Weapons.
Yeah, if you're not controlled by Shastra, then we control you some other way.
Of course.
And Shishya?
Disciple.
One who agrees to be controlled by the spiritual master. So Anushashitaram, the original supreme controller. And Anur, Aniyamsa, smaller than the atom. Anuraniya Mahato Mahiya. Is that quoted here? No. But Prabhupada quotes it often. Krishna is greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that's not really what's so wonderful about Krishna. It's not just that he's greater than the greatest or smaller than the smallest, but that he's both at the same time. And that still he maintains his charming medium size. Oh, that's Krishna. Anusmarade. Anusmarade means?
Thinking.
How?
Always.
How?
Remember.
By following. Always thinking of Krishna by following the previous authorities. Sarvasya Dhataram, the maintainer of everything, and Achintya Rupam. His form is inconceivable. It means beyond our logic, beyond, you can't figure it out. Now, let's see, what does God look like? Well, it must be, you're not going to get it that way. What is that? Tunum Swam? Namedhaya Nabhuna Shutena. Nayamatma Pravachanena Labhyo. Look it up. No, that's another one. Nayamatma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedhaya Nabhuna Shutena. Let's find it. Should be here. Prabhupada quotes it often here. No, it's not here. Vedabase. Who's got the Nayamatma Pravachanena Labhyo? Nayamatma. Okay, well, we're waiting for Nisringa Chaitanya to find it. Nayamatma Pravachanena Labhyo. One can't understand this Supreme Soul just by attending discourses. Namedhaya, nor by your great intelligence. Na bahuna shutena, nor by hearing this, hearing that, different Vedic literatures. Only to one to whom he reveals himself is he visible. Nayamatma pravachanena. Nayam Atma Pravachanena. You should find like 14,000 hits for it. Everywhere. It's all over the place.
Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo.
Ah.
You want me to read the translation?
Huh? That, now you've just got a piece of it. Get the whole verse. Add one more word to your search. Tanum. T-A-N-U-M.
Okay.
Then you'll get the whole verse. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo namedhaya bahuna shutena. There it is. Thank you. So only to one to whom he reveals himself is his form, tanu, visible. Then what you said also, what is that? Atas Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhave Grayam Indriya Sevan Mukehi Jivava Svayameva Suratyadaha. So he's a Chintarupa. He won't be understood just by speculation, but he's understood by devotional service when he reveals himself. It's not an ascending process, mechanical process. It's by Krishna's mercy that he becomes visible. Aditya Varna, he's luminous like the sun, and tamasa parastat. He's beyond the ignorance of this material world. The Mayavadis think that somehow or other the Supreme Lord is affected by material nature. But here, tamasa parastat, that supreme person is beyond the limits of the material energy. Okay? All valuable descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we're going to get into a description of the yoga system. Again, from the sixth chapter, again Krishna is touching upon this yoga system for fixing the mind on the Supreme. That will be discussed now for several verses. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva pruvor madhye pranam avesha samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. We've heard about that paramam purusham divyam, supreme transcendental person. How do we achieve him? Here, the yoga system. It's called Shat Chakra Yoga. Another item that was lost from edition one. Shat Chakra Yoga. Shat Chakra, six chakras. Is being described. You've probably all familiar with the yoga system. You see these chakras on different parts of the body, and one has to raise the prana, the life air, from one chakra to the next, to the next. Mm-hmm. That's described especially in Easy Journey to Other Planets. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada describes how the yogi brings it up, and he has to watch out because there's, what is it, seventh orbit? If he doesn't close all the doors to the...
Yeah, it goes out the wrong way.
Then he goes out the wrong way, out the mouth, or out some other way. But he has to arrange it so that he goes out through the top of the skull, through the Brahmarandra, and then he attains perfection. Quite a demanding mechanical system. And it gets more demanding in other ways, as we'll find out later in this chapter. So, prayana kale, manasa achalena, the mind should be fixed, undeviating, bhaktya. The main thing in this yoga is bhakti. Bhaktya. In every chapter, bhakti. Yukta, one should be engaged. Yoga balena, by the power of yoga. Yoga balena chaiva. Bruvor madhye pranama vesha samya, and fixing the life air between the eyebrows. Satam param purusham upayati divyam. This is how one can attain that supreme paramam purusham divyam. Any questions here?
What are the types of air and what is life air?
Yeah, there's apana, there are different kinds of life airs. Prana is especially considered to be the subtle air of life in which consciousness is resting, like a cushion. The soul is beyond the material energy, but it's described as being seated in this prana. The prana is a subtle thing, life air. Exactly what it is, I suppose you need to be a yogi to experience. But it's the main air of life, prana, the living force. Yeah, there are others. There are other airs of life. And they, in Ayurveda, it's described that they assist in different activities. You know, it's like a pneumatic system. The body is an electro-pneumatic hydraulic machine. You know, there's the hydraulic systems, then there's the electrical system, and there's a pneumatic system also. Pneumatic means an air system. You know, just like air brakes and, you know, all these other things that run by air. What did they used to have, like message tubes, pneumatic tubes. Of, you know, sending messages around buildings. So there's a pneumatic system in the body also. It's responsible for a lot of the different bodily functions. Elimination has to do with the life, with the air, one of the airs, I suppose, downward air. Otherwise things, you know, with no, not pushing it from here to there. There are other functions, practically all, so many of the functions, yeah, you opening and closing your eyes. It needs the life airs working properly. What else? I don't know. For my 6-second study of Ayurveda, I can't tell you all the different. But all the different functions of digestion, of movement, they all involve the life airs properly working. Even the intellectual activities depend on the life airs. If the life airs are disturbed, then you get Vyadi dosh, is that what they call it?
Mental illness.
Vyadi dosh, right? There's some problem in the life airs, then you can get madness. The Ayurveda treats madness at least in part, but calming those airs. You know, very calm. Even that's standard treatment in previous times before they had, it's like, you know, bring the person to a calm, peaceful place where he's hearing soothing words and soothing atmosphere and everything. Why, that calms the life airs.
Next to string.
Huh?
String. The stream.
Yes, the calm water treatments and everything. It's all calming the life airs. There's oils that are massage also. All these things, anyway, we're not going to tell you how to deal with crazy patients right now. But these are all for calming the different disturbed airs. Vayu-vyadi. That's what it is, I think so. The vayu, when vayu is disturbed, then vata-dosh, then there's this madness problem. And Ayurveda treats that. So here we're looking at looking at prana and how the yogi, who's in perfect control, therefore all the airs of life have to be under his control. And especially the prana, now he's raising it and it's going to burst out through the Brahmarandra for perfection. Right.
That's part of the subtle body that
transfers. It's a very subtle thing, prana. It's not the soul, but it's a very subtle air of life on which the soul is resting. And Panu Maharaj says it's transferred from body to body. Huh?
Part of the subtle body.
Yeah. Okay. So that means that at the time of death, if he wants to go back to Godhead, the prana has to, you know, propel him out of the body, but he has to leave it behind. You know, like these rockets, many stage rockets, where the
boosters.
Yeah, booster rocket, exactly. Something like that. Yes. Who's asking a question?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I had a question. In the last verse, it says
the last verse means
the previous verse. Krishna is the oldest.
We have a pump there, so you have to speak a little louder.
It's written Krishna is the oldest.
Krishna is the oldest, yes. It
means he's eternal.
Hmm.
But we're eternal. We are eternal.
Yeah, so how is Krishna the oldest when we're all the same age?
Yeah.
That's the question, huh? The answer is that although we're all eternal and therefore there's no beginning and end, which makes us all of an equal age, he's the source. That makes him older.
An example.
You have an example?
The sun and the sunshine.
Yeah, the sun and the sunshine.
The sunshine's always been there as long as the sun's been there, but the sun is the origin of the sunshine.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what's the connection to oldest?
Older, the source is older.
Because it was before, kind of?
It's not a question of time, because in the spiritual world, there's no time anyway.
Yeah.
So then how do you get to younger, older, or anything? Yeah. But the source is, just like we say in science, we say, you know, what's the parent of this? What's the cause of this? Yeah. In that sense, older. You know, the parent is older. But on the spiritual platform, parent and child are equally eternal, but because one is the source and one is the emanation, it's spoken of as older. The Lord is the original, Adyam Purana Purusham. He's the old. You can also say oldest because he's older than everything else. From that point of view also, you can say he's older than you, he's older than me, he's older than the universe, he's older than Brahma, he's older, you know, everybody who's got an age, he's older than all of us. Everything else has a beginning and an end, but he's older. You can see it that way also.
Everything everything is Krishna.
Everything is Krishna, and then everything is not Krishna.
That's in the ninth chapter.
Is that okay? Yes.
Let's say somebody asks you, what is chakra? How do you say in English? Very simple. What is
chakra? Well, chakra really means circle.
Circle.
Mm-hmm. It translates as circle or wheel. A wheel. Just like these
energy.
Spinning wheels.
Energy point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a subtle thing. It's a wheel. But, you know, it doesn't mean that if you look in there, you'll find that there's one of these, you know, Ford, a little miniature Ford Motor Company wheel spinning around. But it's a wheel of energy. I guess vortex is probably a good English word. You'd have to go to your dictionary for that. But it means, what is vortex? Vortex is chakra. It's a center of, you know, where energy converges. Vortex is probably a good word.
When they hang a crystal from a string out of the chakra, then it will actually spin.
When they hang a crystal over the chakra, it will naturally spin. All right, let's dispel crystal myths here for a second. The general understanding, this has nothing to do with anything, but just these crystal things, really what they respond to is the consciousness of the person who's holding the string. It's a way of, which isn't to say that they may not sometimes work for detecting subtle things. That's open to question. But they don't work by responding to, you know, like there's really a power here over this, in this iPod, you know, and so when I hold the crystal over it, you know, it starts spinning. Really, it's consciousness. So, for example, in hypnosis, where a person is in deep trance, and to get the person to respond to questions verbally can be somewhat disturbing, or, you know, it's a lot of effort. So you might have that person hold a string, and you might say, now when the answer is yes, that crystal will go, you know, clockwise. And when the answer is no, that crystal will go counterclockwise. What are you communicating with? You're communicating with the person's consciousness, with his mind. So when his mind is thinking yes, although he's not verbalizing it, subtly, the pendulum is moving clockwise. And the answer is no, subtly it's moving counterclockwise. You can do the same thing in other ways. You know, when the answer is yes, that finger will just naturally start to raise. Or, you know, other ways, other very subtle things that you can do. It has nothing to do with, you know, so if your son has been kidnapped by such and such, rather than such and such, you know, the pendulum will go this way. It has to do with what you think. Now, if you're clairvoyant and you can really see things, then what you think will be what's happening. But just the idea that things have this, like, power, and therefore, you know, this whole Christology thing is, Christology is really pretty wild. Yeah, I mean, things will happen. But it very much depends upon the consciousness of the person who's holding the string. It all gets very subtle, but, you know, all this New Age stuff of, you know, you can tell everything by the crystals because of the power of the crystals and all.
It's the mind.
It's the mind. It's, you know, now the mind interacting with other things, but largely the mind. Enough of crystals. Okay, we've done that. I don't know how we got diverted. Anyway, it's the power of crystals that we got diverted from what we were talking about earlier. Chakras and subtle forces. And there's some, I think there's even a kind of far-out scientific journal called Subtle Energies, put out by scientists who are, you know, a little receptive to the idea that not everything is black and white, not everything is gross matter. There are subtle things going on. But it's a wildly speculative journal, as I recall. Yeah?
From that point that Krishna is the oldest, he's everything. But like the Bhakti isn't like Krishna is everything, like his energy is like this tree or this stone, and but they're like material manifestations, and like at one point they disappear, but Krishna himself is...
Not that they disappear, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says yes, that the person in pure Krishna consciousness, whatever he sees, he doesn't exactly see that thing. Stavra jangama dekina dekitar murti. We're missing Sujitendriya. That he, whatever he sees, actually he sees Ishtadeva Spurti, he sees his worshipable Lord. And Prabhupada gives the example that a mother sees her baby's shoes. So she sees the shoes, but actually she's seeing her child also. She's seeing the shoes and crying, you know, 20 years later, seeing the shoes and crying. Why is she crying? She's seeing the child, actually. Otherwise, you're just seeing shoes. You know, what? You can go to any shoe store and buy, you know, a set of shoes like that. But because she's seeing the child. So one who sees Krishna everywhere, by love for Krishna. By love for Krishna. It's not that he no longer sees, here's a tree, here, but he sees everywhere the connection with Krishna. Any other questions? Shall we move on?
Is there a difference between this what you described in this verse and the other system?
No. This is the same system. It's a reprise, you know, we're again being...
This is their name, Shat Chakra.
Shat Chakra, yeah. It's the same system. Ashtanga Yoga means it has eight practices or eight levels. And Shat Chakra, it involves these six chakras.
Isn't this was spoken at the beginning?
Loud.
Bhagavad Gita was spoken, well, this present like form was spoken at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, the beginning of Kali Yuga, when it's understood that, you know, karma and jnana and yoga, they won't really produce the desired problem result. So why does Krishna speak then?
By the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna will know everything. He'll know about karma, he'll know about jnana, he'll know about yoga, he'll know about everything. And therefore, when Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paratyaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, it won't be, well, wait a second, there's something else you didn't tell me about. You know, actually, I could have been doing yoga all this time, or I could have been doing... No, he's giving him the full course. And then the conclusion is there. Otherwise, we don't find, for example, that Arjuna followed this system. And we'll reach the conclusion at the end of the chapter, where we are.
He's giving him the opportunities to choose for himself.
He's letting him know, here's the whole story. So you'll be very well informed. In summary, the yoga system, actually to practice the yoga system, you know, Patanjali's whole story is there, what you have to do, and this is in summary. This is in summary. Yad aksharam veda vido vedanti vishanti yad yatayo vitaraga yad ichchanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahena. There's this yad tat again. That which, that indeed. Correlative. Yat, that which is achieved, Aksharam, Vedavido Vedanti. That which the Vedavida, the persons who know the Vedas, Vedavid, Aksharam Vedanti, that those persons are speaking Om, 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 this Omkar vibration. Akshara means the syllable Om. Akshara has other meanings, but here it means the syllable Omkar. Omkar is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada discusses it at great length, that Om is none is this origin of everything. Om is the supreme. Om means, because Om is Krishna.
Huh?
That Om is not different from Krishna. And Prabhupada gives the example that by chanting Om, one is addressing the Supreme, generically. And by chanting Krishna, one is addressing the Supreme personally. Just like in the press conferences, Mr. President. But Mr. President could be anyone. But if you know the person, then you say Mr. Bush or George, depending on your relationship. So Om is addressed to the Supreme. Therefore, the impersonalists are also chanting Om. The devotees are also chanting Om. Practically everyone is chanting Om to address the Supreme. What is that Supreme? Not everyone knows. Mam tu vedana kaschana. Hardly anyone knows Krishna. But Krishna is that destination which is being indicated by Om. He is that supreme absolute truth indicated by the syllable Om.
When you say God, the word God.
Huh?
When you say the word God, you know, or in any language, Allah, etc. So it's like saying Om?
Yeah, God, Om represents God.
Yeah.
God is, typically, yeah, because people, God could be, you know, what is God? He's the Alpha and Omega, he's the Supreme, he's, you know, he's the
Omega.
Father of everyone, Omega. But he's everything. He's, you know, he can't be spoken of, his, you know, his name cannot be pronounced, and so on. So this is all, and very often, we have a kind of a general, a vague idea of Om, of God. What is God? God is the sky. God is the flowers. God is every, you know. We don't have a very focused idea. So yeah, you can say that God is like Om in that respect. And in all the Vedic mantras, this word Om is there to indicate the Supreme. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Om Purnam Mada Purnam Idam. Om Namo Shivaya. Always Om is there.
But it's transcendental.
Yes.
But the word God isn't transcendental.
Why not?
Well, it's English word.
I think, well, what does transcendental mean? It means coming from the spiritual world, I suppose.
Yeah. It means coming from the spiritual world, or it means the the idea is that God is transcendental, and the sound vibration which is designating God is also transcendental. So when we're talking about, for example, plastic, we're talking about something material. Or when we're talking about God, we're talking about something spiritual. So it becomes spiritual language. That's also good. You don't have to speak Sanskrit. Glorify Krishna.
But isn't it that still the effect you get is higher when you use this transcendental? Or that you just
that when we take this language coming from the from revealed scriptures, it has special potency. It has special potency. What about Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yeah, Chaitanya Charitamrita is Bengali. But we don't say, oh, it's not Sanskrit, it doesn't have any potency. Or Prabhupada's books are in English.
But he still uses, he could have just saved room and not write the Sanskrit. So just write the translation.
Right. But the original language is understood to have a special potency.
So it has.
Yeah, it has. It has. It has.
So what's the language Lord Chaitanya speaks in Goloka Vrindavan?
Sanskrit.
But we have to learn that before going back.
It's the transcendental language.
There he speaks the language of devotion.
And Krishna?
Sanskrit is the language of devotion.
Krishna? Krishna speaks, he knows all the languages, but Brajbash, right? It's local language. Local slang, you know?
Yeah, I've heard from Purna Chandra Prabhu that in Goloka Vrindavan, the language that's spoken there is Brajbash.
Yeah, that's what I would. Local slang. Okay. You can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita at great length about Om. Very.
Where exactly?
Oh, where is that description? It's in Madhyalila. What's it in connection with? It may be teachings to Sanatana Goswami.
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of the question.
He's asking where this big description of Om is. I believe, one place is in Adi Leela, in the discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati. What's that, seventh chapter? That may be that's one place, certainly. And again, it may come in teachings to Sanatana Goswami, I don't recall. But certainly in the discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati, I think it's there. At least one and maybe two big places. The discussion is there, Omkar. And in Bhagavad Gita, in several places, Om Ityai, we'll find them, in fact, in this chapter. So, Yadaksharam Veda Vido Vedanti, then Vishanti Yad Yataya Vitaraga, that destination into which the Yatis, the endeavoring transcendentalists, the great sages, Vishanti, into which they enter. Yad ichchanto brahmacharyam charanti. That destination, desiring which, ichchanti, brahmacharyam charanti. The brahmacharya is practice, celibacy. Because the yoga system, if you're not brahmachari, forget it.
Meditate on women.
You have to be a brahmachari to practice the Ashtanga Yoga, Shat Chakra Yoga. What is that? Sucho Dishte Pratishtapya Sthiram Asanam Atmana Nati Uchutam Nati Nicham Chalajana Pushotanam Manasivan Yoga. Anyway, it's there. Brahmachari Stateya Vrataha. One has to be situated in Brahmacharya.
So half the population is like left out.
Yeah, this yoga system is not for women. Practically, women don't do this. And although it's there, but hardly. And most men don't do it either. Or in this age, no one can do it.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
The enter into Brahma means the enter.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet. Tate padam sangrahina pravakshe. Now I'm going to explain to you.
Whoa,
you just interrupted me in mid-sentence. Deepak, relax. Now, sangrahina, in summary, I'm going to explain to you what that destination is. Tate padam sangrahina pravakshe. Now your question.
I just want to know, celibacy during that time or just from the birth he must be followed the brahmachari?
Well, really the best thing is since birth. But still there are great yogis, Vishwamitra Muni and others. They practice yoga. You take it up at a certain time and then you have to practice. Some other question? Yes.
Enter into Brahman means they realize that they are the soul or they...
No,
merge.
It means they enter into the that world, that atmosphere.
Merge into Brahman.
Merge, yes. But what is that merging? There are two kinds of merging. One merging is just like the drop merging with the ocean. The drop merges into the ocean and becomes one with the ocean. Well, that's the aspiration of the Mayavadis. They want to become one with God. The trouble is that after becoming one with the ocean, the drop is later evaporated and it rains back on the land. The other way to merge into the ocean is like the fish. The fish are also merged in the ocean, but they maintain their individuality. They maintain their individuality. So they don't have to leave the ocean. They play in the ocean.
The yogis are doing that.
The yogis can do either. Either they can merge, if they're of the impersonalist school, or they can play, if they're of the personalist school. That, if they're of the personalist school, then they merge, Jiva Goswami says, like a green bird entering a green tree. And the green bird enters the green tree, then they merge in greenness, but the bird maintains its individuality. So that's this merge. So that's this entering into Brahma. Clear? Yes. Yes. Tulsi.
This is different from what just now described.
No.
Because here it's speaking about salvation, about achieving Brahma.
Yeah.
And before that, it was speaking about achieving the spirit.
There's no difference. Krishna is, when Lord Chaitanya says, wherever you read Brahman, read Krishna. Brahman means the greatest. Just like we could say, wherever you see God, that means Krishna. Wherever you see Om, actually it means Krishna. Wherever you see Brahma, the greatest, that means Krishna. Sarva dwarani samyamya mano riddhi nirudhyacha murdhan yad hayatmana pranam astito yoga dharanam. Now here the yoga, the situation of yoga is described. One has to control all the doors of the body, close all the doors. There are different holes in the body, 9 holes in the body. And when you're revving up all this power with prana to burst out the skull, you don't want to burst out any other place. So you have to control all the, you know, just like the police are tracing someone down, you know, so they have to close all the doors in the building so they can get the guy up against the wall or whatever it is. So you have to close all the doors. Or when they're out in the fields, when they're circulating the water in the fields, so then they use these dams and they close up all the different places where they don't want it to go, so that it will go into the field that they want and flood the field. So in the same way, you have to close all of these doors so that the prana doesn't...
How do you do it from outside? Like
no. No, it's by...
By pairs.
No, it's by inner control.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like clothespins on your nose or something like that. No, 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 no. It's by yogic power. It's by yogic power. And mano vridhi nirujyacha. One fixes the mind and the heart. And murdhan yadhai atmana pranam. And fixes the life air at the top of the skull. Astita yoga tananam. That's the yogic situation.
So it's like transcendental suicide.
Yeah, it is.
The soul
is situated in the heart, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also situated in the heart. One has to focus the mind on the heart. Well, ultimately, yeah, because in this yoga system, you're going to burst out through the skull, and that's it for the body. Body's gone. This is, or at the time when death naturally comes, he practices this way. Either way you take it.
But it's not spiritual suicide. I thought like the yogis, they meditate upon the super soul.
It's not spiritual suicide in the sense of the way we speak of disparage impersonalism. It just means that the body is destroyed. It's not spiritual suicide in the sense of dissolving the spirit the way the Maya body is.
For the sake of spirituality.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a different suicide. Omitye kakshuram brahma vyaharan mamanusmara ya prayati tyajan deham sa yati paramam gatim. This is the final practice. Omitye kakshuram brahma vyaharam. One has to vibrate this transcendental syllable, om, representing the absolute truth. And mamanusmara, remembering Krishna. This is yoga. Mamanusmara. Yeah, such a person, priyati, tyajandeham, leaving this body, quitting this body, he leaves this body, and sayati paramam gatim, he achieves the supreme destination. Sayati paramam gatim.
Brahma-jyoti?
Huh? No. Nope. Depending on his, what he's shooting for. If he's shooting for the Brahma Jyoti, he goes to the Brahma Jyoti. If he's shooting for the personality of Godhead, he goes to the personality of Godhead.
Is this described, if one's doing this type of yoga, that if one, you know, identifies, you know, one reaches Paramatma realization, and if one identifies himself as the Paramatma,
yeah,
then you go to the Brahman effulgence.
Yeah.
But then if one understands that Atma is, you are, that's the Paramatma and you're the Atma, then you can go to Bhakti Yoga.
Actually, it's meant for personal realization.
Yes.
Therefore, Krishna says, Mamanusmara. He doesn't say just, you know, let your mind merge into some, Mamanusmara, think of me. So this is actually directed toward the personality of Godhead.
Yeah, but
so is it possible that they can think of Krishna as the person at that time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the yogis, that was their...
It's in the chart, in that center unto me, 364, I think.
Page 64.
364. I thought you had to go for Bhakti, so that would be from
Bhakti
also.
Huh? Wow, what a chart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Bhaktya Bruvar Bhajye. What is that? You just read? Bhaktya Yukto Yoga Balena Chaiva. It's all about bhakti. Bhakti is required. And then mamanusmara, one has to remember Krishna. So this, and then we come to the next verse. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityashah. Tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginam. I'm easy to reach. Sulabha. For whom? For those who are nitya yuktasya yogina. Yogis always engaged in relationship with me. And yoman smarati nityashah, who are always remembering me. Ananya cheta, without letting their minds go anyplace else. Satatam and nityashah mean the same thing, always, always. Always, regularly, constantly. Sulabha, I'm easy. Why? Because they're always engaged in thinking of me. Tasya aham sulabha, I'm easy to achieve. The target is Krishna. The goal is Krishna. Mamanusmara, yo mam smarati nityashah. It's all about remembering Krishna and achieving Krishna. Yes?
In Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary by the Buddha.
Excuse me?
In the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur commentary, he says that if one is a Karmakandi or a Jnanakandi or he wants success through yoga, for any of them to be successful, there has to be some mixture of bhakti.
Yeah. Nothing works without bhakti.
Yeah.
Yoga means there must be bhakti. Therefore, yoga has some value. Karma yoga, jnana yoga. Why? The yoga part, that means bhakti. And bhakti yoga, there's no difference between the yoga and the bhakti. Well, he's connected purely in bhakti. In karma yoga, it's karma and there must be some bhakti. In jnana yoga, there's jnana and there must be some bhakti. And in bhakti yoga, it's all bhakti.
Yeah, because we hear about how there's karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga, and there's the karma yogi who's not necessarily a devotee.
No, he must be to some extent a devotee.
So what, if he's not very much of a devotee, what does he...
He's making
works.
A little progress.
Yeah, okay, he does some work and he offers the fruit, but where does the fruit go?
Depends where he's offering it.
Yeah, that's a...
But if he's offering, suppose if he's offering to the demigods, so then...
Krishna's, you know, part of that.
He's making little progress because he's acknowledging some superior authority. But if he offers to Krishna, now he's making more progress. He's still basically attached to his work and the results of the work, but he knows, I should give something to Krishna. Now he gives more and more, and when he gives 100%, his life is successful. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yes?
Does it mean that karma yoga is not necessarily offering to Krishna, it can be offering to demigods?
Yeah, that's also counted as karma yoga, but very...
Isn't that karma kanda?
Neophyte karma yoga.
Karma,
that's really karma kanda.
Yeah.
But,
no,
it's the beginning of karma yoga.
Yeah.
Because he's following the Vedas. So you can say it's the beginning of karma yoga. But it's very, practically Prabhupada doesn't even count it. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada practically doesn't count that as karma yoga. The real karma yoga begins when we're offering to Krishna. Yes?
In renunciation through wisdom, Prabhupada points out that bona fide worship of the deities always include Krishna as the chief beneficiary.
Yeah. When you're worshipping the demigods, you always have to worship Krishna as part of the program.
Om is there.
And Om is there. You always have to chant, Om Namo Shivaya, Om. So Om means, we got you. You know, Om means Hare Krishna. Now you're chanting Hare Krishna. So we got you, because we got you into this process of offering sacrifice. And now gradually we're going to get you back to Godhead. But gradually. Okay, shall we move on? Very nice verse. Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityashah Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nityuktas. Krishna said, I'm easy to achieve. You just always think of me and you'll come to me. Mam Upecha Punarjanma Dukhalayam Ashashvatam Na Apnuvanti Mahatmanaha Sang Siddhim Paramam Gataha. Very important verse, Prabhupada quotes very often. Mamupetya, achieving me, Krishna, punarjanma, napnuvanti, one doesn't have to take birth again. If one achieves me, birth and death are finished. Mamupetya, punarjanma, napnuvanti, finished. Punarjanma where? In this material world. And what is this material world? Dukhalaya Ashashvatam. Alaya means the place where you get something. Just like restaurant, Bhojanalaya. Or Himalaya, the place where there's a lot of ice. Him means ice. So Himalaya, place where it's full of ice. Bhojanalaya, Aushadhalaya, a place where you get medicine, Aushadhi, Aushadhalaya, Bhojanalaya, Himalaya. Yeah. He's inviting all the Aussies? Yeah, okay. So all of these alayas. Come on, we're being serious here. Be serious here. So Aushadhalaya, Bhojanalaya, Himalaya, and here Dukhalaya, the place where you get just miseries, full of misery. Dukhalaya. That's the material world. Adi bhautik miseries, adi daivik miseries, adi atmic miseries, miseries from other living beings, miseries from the body and mind, miseries from material nature. There's always either all three of these miseries or two of them, at least one of them always has to be there. That's the material world. Dukhalaya. Just so many miseries. Then someone says, and you could go on and on about how much misery, but then someone says, no, you're a pessimist, you're negative, you're just, you know, you're just frustrated because you couldn't make it. It's not at all like that. It's not miserable. I'm happy. I have a nice job. You may be a loser. I'm not a loser. I've got a gorgeous wife, I've got a job that I love, great kids, you know, plenty of money, nice house, good reputation. You know, you can be into this misery thing, you know, it's just your negativity, but my life is happy. Then the answer is Ashashvata. How long? It will be finished. Shashvata means permanent. Ashashvata means gone, just like that. You have your beautiful wife. How long will she be beautiful?
Not very long.
Not very long. You have your money, you have your this, you have your that. For how long? You have your body, which is, you know, your vehicle for enjoying all of these things. For how long? And for how long will you be able, will the senses be conducive to enjoyment. Chanakya Pandit's someplace, he says that, you know, this is misery, to be an old man with a young wife. Right? And what will you enjoy? Most beautiful wife, but beautiful young wife, but what use is she for an old man?
Viagra.
Yeah, Viagra, they're trying. That's the extent to which they're frustrated.
Yeah.
That it's temporary, so, you know, what can we do to make it work anyway? Mm-hmm. And apart from, you know, for those whom Viagra doesn't work, they have little mechanical pumps and all, you know, all sorts of ways to try to somehow or other extend their sex life when really it's over. They're desperate. They want to, you know, they want to enjoy, and they're unfit to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And somehow or other, pathetically, they're going to try to enjoy till the fag end. But finally, Mrityu Sarvaharasjaham, Krishna comes as death, and everything's taken away. So, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, first of all, it's miserable, and even if you're such a fool that you don't see that, finally, it's all going to be taken away. Finally or not finally, you know, sooner or later, it will all be. Or even anything, you know, we're beautiful summer day, and then, you know, the next day it's cold and rainy. You know, today it's like the greatest food in the world, and next morning a stomach ache. You know, today she loves me, tomorrow she hates my guts. Everything's, you know, you don't have to wait till the time of death for the pleasure to turn to misery. It comes quick. But even if you think, no, my whole life will be wonderful, and time of death it will all be finished. Ah, there's the example. Where does that medicine come from?
This from Ayurvedic doctor.
Yes, sadhana or shadalaya.
Sadhana, yeah. Sadhana or shadalaya.
Oshodhalaya.
Oshodhalaya, place of medicine.
It means the place where you get medicine. Sadhana Oshodhalaya. Oshodhalaya. So they, why do you have to go to the Oshodhalaya? Because the material world is Dukkhalaya.
What means Oshodhalaya?
Medical shop. The place where you get Oshodhi. Medicine, Oshodhalaya. You have to go to the Oshodhalaya because the world is Dukkhalaya, full of miseries.
Maharaj?
Yes?
He says that the minute we go back to Godhead, we're going to stay.
Yeah.
There. But at the beginning, we were at...
Oh, this is a whole discussion. If we were once with Krishna, how could we have fallen? If we go back, what keeps us from falling again? That one we're going to discuss after hours, because that's an endless question. That's an endless question. Okay. But yeah, it does come up here relevantly. But Krishna says, na apnivanti, it won't happen.
Yeah, so if you trust, you know, the scriptures, I suppose that if you have full trust in...
Yeah, if we accept what Krishna says, don't worry about it. That don't worry that, no, if I go, I might fall. Krishna says, no, you won't fall. Napnuvanti. Mahatmanaha, the great souls, the broad-minded persons, sang-siddhim. They've achieved complete perfection. Sang-siddhi. Sang means complete. Sang-siddhi. Paramam, the highest, ultimate, complete perfection. Means going back to Godhead. Mam Upecha, attaining Krishna. That's Paramam Gata, the supreme destination.
Because someone can hear darshan of Krishna even in the material world.
Yeah.
So, does that mean Mam Upecha?
Yeah. Then for him there's no difference between going back to Godhead and staying here. He's already there.
Prabhupada would dismiss this sometimes, this question. You don't worry about how you got there. Like if someone's in the ocean, put off the boat, you don't like worry about how they got in the ocean. You just throw them a life preserver and get them out, you know.
Yeah. Do you follow the point?
No.
That someone's asking, you know, how did we get to this material world and where did we fall from and so on. So then the answer is just get out. We'll talk about that later. Now, when did this fire start? How long has it been burning? How many floors, you know, how many minutes before the floors collapse? You know, that we'll talk about after we get out. Moving on?
Yeah.
Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartana Arjuna Mam Upechita Kaunteya Punarjanma Navidyate. Abrahma, ah means all the way to this point. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. Up to the point of Brahma Loka, Puna Avartana, they're all places from which one has to come back. From the highest planet to the lowest, Prabhupada says. They're all places of misery, Dukkhalaya Mashashvatam, from which one has to come back down to this material, to this earth planet. Even if you go to the higher planets, you have to come back down. That will be explained in the ninth chapter. But Mamupetya, if one reaches me, Punarjanma na vidyate, no more birth and death. Finished. End of birth and death. The practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, that's what we read about the other day. Five kinds of fires, five kinds of sacrifices, five kinds of offerings. Enables one to achieve Brahmaloka, but if on Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he has to come back down. Oh, the advantage of Brahmaloka is that if one associates with Lord Brahma and becomes Krishna conscious, he can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, if he just gets there and doesn't become fully Krishna conscious, he has to come back. And this Chandraloka, Indraloka, they're just vacation spots. You go for some time, you use up your punya, your pious credit, and you have to come back down. Punarvartana. Hare Krishna.
Good morning.
Jaya.
I want to invite you. It's not only window, it's really spiritual world. It's there, it's sure.
Spiritual world?
Yeah. It's there. Please come, this circle.
Okay. This is where the deities are.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Okay. When shall we come?
I wait for you.
Acha. Okay. So we'll, what, after class we go?
Yeah, after class.
Yeah, after class.
You know how to go?
Yeah, it's just to feel this fleet.
Okay. Thank you, Maji. Hare Krishna. Okay. Now we're going to learn something about time. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vido Janaha. Aha Ratra Vida means those who know what day and night is. Here's the calculation of day and night. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aha Yad Brahmano Vidu. Brahma's day consists of 1,000 yuga cycles. Here, yuga means the cycle of four yugas. Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali.
How is this called? Divya Yuga? Or?
Kalpa.
Kalpa.
There are different kinds of kalpas also, but here it means.
Kalpa is different.
Hmm? They're different. Yeah. So four yugas put together.
It's one age. Four yugas.
Is one of the yugas being described here. So Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, that's Brahma's day. So you calculate his day, the yugas together are 4,300,000 years. 4,300,000. And change. 4,300,000 is close enough for you. Sahasra, but Sahasra times 1,000. That's Brahma's day.
4 billion.
It's one day. Yeah.
4 billion.
No. No. 4,300,000.
Is 4 yugas.
Is 4 yugas together.
Times 1,000.
Times 1,000 is Brahma's one day.
And his one night is the same.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the math, but...
Okay. And then his night is the same.
Yeah, we're coming to that. 4,300,000 times 1,000 years is Brahma's one day. That means time is relative. What for you is so many... years, thousands and thousands of years, for Brahma, that's 12 hours. For Brahma, that's 12 hours. You can get into Einstein's theory here, where he sees time relatively, but it's all there originally in Vedic literature. Therefore, we read that Maharaj Revata, he was looking for a daughter for his husband for his daughter, so he went to Brahmaloka to present the matter to Lord Brahma. But Lord Brahma was a little busy. There was some concert going on. I think demigods were doing a little concert. So then the concert ended and Revata put his issue before Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma left. He said, everybody that you might have thought of for your daughter, they've died thousands and thousands of years ago. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that concert meant, on Earth, thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Although maybe it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes on Brahmaloka, thousands of years.
What makes it so relative?
What makes it relative? Krishna's arrangement makes it relative.
Also like insects, their lifespan is, to them, it's like...
It's like 100 years.
100 years.
It's said that everyone gets 100 years, but our 100 years and the ants' 100 years are different.
But it seems like the same.
Even, like, you can get the idea that day and night, Prabhupada said for the cosmonauts, you know, the early guys from Russia who were circling the globe, it was, you know, a few hours. For us, it's 24 hours, but they were doing it, like, every hour and a half or something. So day and night went quicker. It all gets very spooky, and Einstein and his whole theory become very, very weird, actually, and it takes a while to get it and longer still to explain it, and I haven't even gotten it yet, so. But time bends. That's basically what he's saying. And he proves it mathematically. Yes, he does. It's basically mathematics, physics. He proves that according to that you can't just measure time. You have to measure time in relation to something. You have to measure time in relation to something. If I see something here and you're seeing it there, it changes. There's a time reference. Like the time it takes for a train to pass by is different for the person who's standing in one place and a person who's moving slower than the train, but still moving and in the same direction as the train. The time it takes for the train to pass by will be different again if you're moving at the same speed in the opposite direction. If you're moving in the opposite direction very quickly, the train just zips by. Mm. If you're moving at the same speed as the train, it never passes by. So if you measured time, for example, let's say our measurement of time is how much time it takes for a train to move. What? A mile. For some people it would be very fast, for some people it would be very slow, for some people it would never happen. Because time is relative to the frame in which you put it. That's very basic relativity.
For Brahma, he experiences his life also. It's very short, actually.
His Brahma, it goes just like that for Brahma.
It's not a long time, Brahma.
Not a long time, you know. It's only 100 years. It's only from our vantage point that it seems to be such a long time. You know, for the ant, it seems that, you know, human beings are living forever. For us, it seems the demigods are living forever. It's relative consideration.
Whatever we are reading about Brahma in scripture, it is about one Brahma, or it may be different Brahmas?
Well, one Brahma is enough for you. Sometimes there are other Brahmas that may be in the picture. But here we're talking about one Brahma. So,
one of the previous lectures, Rapankash, one of the Prabhu told that now this Brahma is Krishna itself because nobody is qualified to become Brahma.
That sometimes happens. Brahma, sometimes he's a living entity, and sometimes Krishna himself becomes the Brahma.
If Krishna himself is a Brahma.
Brahma's the post.
If Krishna himself is a Brahma, then why is sometimes come under the illusion like in Dwapar Yuga, it comes like the stolen the calves and the... If the Brahma is Krishna,
yeah.
Now Brahma is Krishna,
yeah.
Then why sometimes he comes under the illusion?
No, if Krishna never comes under illusion. But if he's playing as Brahma, of course I don't know about that statement that now the Brahma is Krishna.
Yeah, somebody asked Prabhupada that...
It was quoted saying Prabhupada told me this and then they told...
Yeah, that was a very second-hand quote.
Yes,
I've not seen it in the book.
He's a Shakti Aveshana.
No, Ray Bhatti Swami too.
Somebody said that somebody said. Somebody said that somebody said. But as far as, just try to get the idea. Brahma is generally one of the living entities. He is the most pious of the living entities. And if there's no suitable candidate, then Krishna himself takes the post. It's a post. It's not that there's one person who's Brahma forever, but you can also become Brahma. If you're qualified, you can be the Brahma. A Brahma, it's said, a person who executes the Vedic duties and never commits any sinful activities for 1,000 lifetimes.
Yeah, 100 lifetimes, perfect executes Varnashram Dharma.
Yeah, he can become
100.
I thought it was 1,000. Anyway, for enough lifetimes, if you execute all your duties perfectly,
lifetimes,
then you can become Brahma. And if you blow it, you know, for one lifetime, you're back. The counter starts again from zero. Not easy to become Brahma.
My question is that suppose if the Brahma is Krishna in Kali Yuga,
Krishna anyway, if he wants to make the pastime of being illusioned, he can make a pastime. It appeared that Krishna was bewildered, that all my friends have entered into the Agasura. Now what should I do? But he's not bewildered, but that's his play.
Like I was reading in one scripture, the Brahmaran after his daughter Saraswati.
Yeah.
So if Krishna cannot do this thing.
But, right. So that's Brahma, not Krishna.
Brahma has to live so long time, and Dwapar, and it happened in the Dwapar Yuga, and now it's Kali Yuga.
Yeah. So that's Brahma. Krishna is a different story. This is Brahma.
I heard that the descriptions which are in the Vedas, they are not necessary become, how to say, in one time, especially.
Yeah, there are different things from different scriptures, maybe from different yugas, different universes also. That's sometimes there. Therefore, if we hear about Brahma getting in trouble, Krishna is not in trouble like that. Anyway, this is not something we hear, like, this Brahma is Krishna. That's first time I heard it in my life after 35 years. That's not a very important point. Yes?
I just have a quote. I don't remember which Acharya, but I read the quote from one of our Acharyas, that there was no qualified Jiva in the universe to take the post of Brahma. So then somebody from Goloka Vrindavan was asked to take this post. Because it meant properly to some anybody or something.
Oh, there's so many books now. Yeah. You know, I don't know where all these books come from, and everybody's got something. I can't say anything about them. I haven't read the book. I don't know what it said. I can't comment on it. No opinion. This is, you know, try to understand the basic thing before you understand, you know, which Manjari came as Brahma and which Yuga from what universe. You know, it's like esoterica to the max. We really don't need that right now. Just try to understand the position of Brahma, how his lifetime is long. That's all that's being discussed here, you know. Why make it very embroidered? It's simple. That Brahma lives for 1,000 years, but those, rather, yes, for... his day is 1,000 yugas. Then teho ratram yuga sahasrantam. His night is again 1,000 ages. And Brahma lives for 100 years. So you can calculate the lifetime of Brahma. 4,300,000 times 1,000 times 2, day and night, times 30, times 12, times 100. That's Brahma's lifetime. 4,300,000 times 2 times 12 times 30 times 100 solar years. That means practically you can't even think about it.
The purport, they give the 100 years of Brahma bar calculation to 11 trillion and 40 billion Earth years.
Yeah. So no one, you know, that at that point it's just numbers. You could probably do it in scientific notation, you know, what number to the what power.
And in relation to eternity, it's as brief as a lightning flash.
There it is. Yakala nishvasita kala, what is that? Nishvasita kala matava lambya jivanti loma vilaja. Govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami. Yes, yaika nishvasita kala matava. This is nishvasita kala. Nishvasita means one breath. So nishvasita kala means the time it takes for one breath. Eka, one. Yes, ya. Yaika nishvasita kala matava lambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda nata Vishnur mahant iha yasya kalavishesho govinda madhi purusha. This whole lifetime of Brahma is taking place within one breath of Mahavishnu.
Innumerable Brahma.
That there, this whole lifetime of Brahma is one breath of Mahavishnu.
Okay. And there's innumerable Brahmas.
Yeah, there's innumerable Brahmas.
And Mahavishnu breathes all the time.
He breathes a lot, yeah. But you can now understand your position.
Yeah.
It's better not to
exactly.
ask.
That your lifetime is, you know, what in Brahma's calculation? No, just start with Brahma. By Brahma, or even if you started with the demigods, they have a lesser calculation for their lifetime. But
milliseconds.
It's not even milliseconds, our lifetime. And Brahma's whole lifetime is just a moment for Mahavishnu. So in this way, you know, we're thinking, oh, I'm living so long, or I'm aspiring, oh, I'd like to live a long life. May you live a long life.
Are you smart?
Thank you, Maharaj.
May you live a long life. No, but what is that long life?
It's a curse.
But even our long life, short life, it's all short. It will be finished just like that. Dukkalim ashashvatam. Even Brahma's life is ashashvatam. He gets to be Brahma for one breath, and then it's over. Nāpnavanti mahātmānaḥ saṃsiddhim. Those who attain perfection, who attain Krishna, they don't come back to this material world where time is relative. Okay, so we'll stop here. And we'll go for darshan, and then we'll carry on. Okay, where are we going?
We're going into this first building.
Okay, we're following you. Anu.
Anu.
Following Anu. And it also means eternal.